Hey there, I'm Lee Rolly, and this is Lee After Dark. Why? Because there's more to being a business leader than just business. Each episode, one brave entrepreneur ejects the elevator pitch and just gets real. Today, I'd like to welcome Chris Borja. Chris, how are you?
How are you? Doing good.
I am doing fantastic. Thank you very much. And thank you for spending your time with us today. I really appreciate you coming onto the show. We're excited to have you. Now, the rules are simple. For the next 20 minutes, we can talk about anything you want except your business. Afterwards, you'll have up to 5 minutes to pitch up a storm. If you mention your business during the interview, though, you'll lose 1 minute of pitch time per infraction. So we're doing a demerit, though. We got to keep it honest here, right? You ready to play?
Ready to go.
Very cool. Let's hit the timer. And I gave you an opportunity when you're filling out the form to tell me what you wanted to talk about, and you said my pet hermit crabs. So I'd like, okay, let's start there. Tell me why in the universe of things that you could be talking about that we're going to talk about hermit crabs. Specifically yours.
Because I was sitting next to the hermit crab tank when I got the message. So that's the easy answer.
Okay. So the truth comes out. Okay.
Next to the military.
Right.
So I said, I'll talk about the hermit crabs. But here's why I want to talk about the hermit crabs. Because my family laughs at me because, I don't know, because I have hermit crabs as a pet. Most people don't have hermit crabs as a pet, but they just look cool because they've got really neat looking shells, and they move, and they are alive, and they're actually pretty good size now. So they've actually grown. I think they're like what they would consider like a large size now. But I also see, just like everything, I see a lot of parallels and a lot of lessons in everyday things that we encounter. And one of the things that the hermit crabs do is they molt. So in order for them to grow, so if you imagine these crabs, they go inside a shell, and they actually are, they transition. They don't just stay in one shell forever. They like to transition from one shell to the other, and it limits their growth. So they don't change shells. It actually limits the how large they can grow. So what they do is they need to ditch their old shell, and they need to find a newer one. So oftentimes they'll go around the tank, and they'll look for a larger shell. And then what they'll do is they'll bury themselves underground for an extended period of time. It could be days, it could be weeks, sometimes even several weeks, and you don't see them. And what's happening is that they're getting out of their shell, and they're shedding the old skin so that they can grow. And then they stay hidden so that they're protected from predators or each other and the elements. And then as their new shell starts to harden and form. So that's how they grow. So they change to a newer shell, they bury themselves, they shed their old skin, and then they come back newer and bigger. And so many times in our life, we kind of find ways to get comfortable, and we think that's where we're supposed to be at. But there's times where we need to shed our own skin in order for us to grow. There's times when we need to get away from everything to be able to grow, because otherwise, we are stuck being the same day after day, year after year. So I'm sure it's not a very comfortable process for them, but it's something that's necessary. So I saw that and thought there's a lot of parallels with life and just needing to get away sometimes, needing to get away from everything, and you know, finding room to grow. We got to put ourselves in an environment where we can grow. So I thought that was just kind of cool. When I see it, they just look at hermit crabs. I think they're cool looking, but I also saw some life lessons in what they do.
Well done. That is a strong open. Wow, that is the profound. And I got to get my effects board hooked up because I've got a great like applause thing on there, and that would have been perfect for that. But I guess we'll have to add that in post, right? You know. That is absolutely fantastic. You've learned this incredible life lesson, and moreover can relay it to others through something that is unexpected. And you know, that's something that, you know, from what I've seen over you, out of you over the years, it's just like you do have these kind of unexpected ways of getting people to come to these realizations that they already know inside, I think. You know, is that accurate?
What do you mean? So who knows? Or
it's like just these little things that you use, like with the hermit crabs. It was like, yeah, I've seen over the years you come up with number, you know, quite a number of these analogies that really drive home points that, like, inside we already know this stuff.
Oh yeah, so yeah, it just kind of helps bring it out. I think my brain just works that way. I just see things differently. I see things ahead, kind of have visions of how things could be and should be. And I think it's kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, because my brain's always working. But I do come up with a couple of good ones here and there, and I'd like to share those and hope it impacts people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So before we leave the topic of hermit crabs, I do have to ask, are you pro or anti decorated shells? I mean, because that's a thing, man. You know, paintings, you know, putting the little Ohio State symbol on the shell, you know, kiss like Gene Simmons' face, you know, bedazzling and stuff like that. I mean, is that good for the hermit crab psyche?
I don't know, but when I bought two of them, they were in an Ohio State helmet. So it's like, you know, like those little plastic helmets that you get for 50 cents when you're leaving the grocery store. It had those,
right.
Has those mounted. Somebody hot glue gunned them to a shell. And so when I purchased two of them, they actually had Ohio State helmets on.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And they got out of those and moved into a lot prettier, prettier, more organic looking shells. But as far as like the decorated ones, I know some people say that they're bad because the paint can chip off and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, to me, I think use whatever you want to look at, because I don't think the crabs care what sport team they have on. I don't think they know which team has a good record that year.
So you don't think it's going to cause an identity crisis or anything like that?
No, they switch all the time. And sometimes they switch 2-3 times in a day when they can't find a good one. I've seen them just like hop out of one, hop into the other one. Actually, you got some rare footage of it. I was thinking about selling it to National Geographic, but I don't know. They might already have better coverage than my 10-gallon aquarium. But yeah, I say good to look at, and that's part of what I like is that they're unique. So if you like look at pretty stuff, so you just see the shells, but they're alive. You know, they move around and things like that. So I don't know. I just think they're pretty cool, and it's fun to watch them eat too. They eat anything, so you can throw anything in the cage pretty much, and they'll eat it. I throw chicken in there. Not a whole chicken, but maybe like a little strip.
Not a whole chicken. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll eat mealworms. They'll eat fruits and veggies sometimes. So whatever is edible, they'll eat it.
Huh. See, now I'm just picturing an army of hermit crabs pitted against a live chicken. What you've done to me. This image is permanently burned into my brain. This standoff.
Yeah.
You know.
You'll need to add like a chicken in your post effects, and you could point to it like the chicken. Wherever I'm pointing to.
No poultry was harmed in the making of this episode. We promise you that. Yeah.
Or hermit crabs.
Or hermit crabs, right?
Somebody out there is gonna be mad because I said they can wear painted shells.
Well, you know, it's just it's your shell's got to be thick. It can't just be pretty. Your shell's got to be thick, man. You know, you can't really borrow with a thin shell, man. You get offended by stuff like that, and you're going to spend your life being unhappy. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, the crabs don't care. You shouldn't care. That's the new. That's a new motto.
Be like crabs.
I can't imagine what you're going to add to this later.
Oh my goodness! See, no, we really don't do a whole lot of editing here. It just whatever happens, happens. It's like Vegas, which you grew up in Vegas, right? So we got a few minutes left, and I'm stalling. So tell me what that was like.
Well, so I actually grew up in the L.A. area in Southern California lived in Vegas for several years, though.
Oh, my bad. Okay. So tell me about your time in Vegas. That's one of my favorite cities. I mean, I have to say, by the time I leave, I've always had enough. But then by the time I get home, I always want to go back.
Yeah, I love Vegas. I think it, especially arriving in Vegas, whether you're arriving by car or by plane, it's just such a welcoming city in that it's always on. Like the lights are on at nighttime. It's so bright. It's just so fun and interesting to enter the city. What is interesting, though, is living in Columbus and flying back to Vegas, there's definitely a vibe on the plane for people going to Vegas, and it's a different vibe on the plane from Vegas back to Columbus. You can imagine how different it is. It's a lot on the way back. You know, maybe a few lighter wallets, too, but it's very quiet on the way back and a little bit more of a party atmosphere and excitement as they go out there. But I think it does leave you to where you've kind of had enough by the time you're done. But every time you go back, it's different. They're building so much that if you go back every 3 months or 6 months, it'll look like a different city because they've built, you know, a new hotel, casino, or a mega resort.
Right.
But I enjoyed it out there. I enjoyed I joined the people out there, and we had a good time, made some good friends while we're out there. So I actually enjoyed I enjoyed living out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting to have the experience, you know, the perception, you know, from somebody who has lived there to see what actually goes on there every day. You know, because it just looks like, you know, we've been there several times and had some time to get out of Vegas and see some of the things in the surrounding area too. And there's just so much there that's just beyond the, you know, I think we spent $20 on gambling the whole time we were there. And that was just because we were in Binion's and we had nothing to do for a little bit. And then we saw, oh, look, a slot machine with Betty White, you know, reading a book. And I'm like, you know, Betty White wouldn't treat us bad. And she just, you know, right, 2 minutes, she was like, here, give me your $20 and go away. That was it, man. You know, so, I'm going to have to edit this out because I completely blanked on that. I had a point on that. Okay. Jumping back in 3, 2, 1. So I remember you were telling, I saw on Facebook, you had kind of recapturing an event at Circus Circus not too long ago. And I wonder if, you know, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Circus Circus, that's where actually I met my wife in the video arcade. But I was 14 years old, she was 15, we were between freshman and sophomore year in high school. And both of our parents, or both of our families, were visiting Vegas that same weekend. It was Father's Day weekend in 1987, I believe. I think it's 1987.
Wow.
So we met in the video arcade. Belinda actually picked me up because I was too shy to talk to girls at the time. And so she asked me for change when machines used to take quarters. And I'm a nerd, so I'm in an arcade. You know, I'm going to have change. If you could ask the right person, I had change, and so I was ready. So I had change for her, and we just started talking, exchanged phone numbers, and stayed in touch. And then after she got back from her summer trip to Mexico, I called her up and practiced. You know, I was practicing dialing like the whole time she was gone, pretending like I was going to call her. And so I called her up, and then we started dating. We lived about 30 minutes apart from each other. We started dating, you know, whenever we can get a ride to see each other, watch a movie, or go to the school dance. 10 years after dating, we got married. And then on October 4th, we just celebrated our 22nd year of being married and 32 years together. When we went to Vegas this last summer, we went to visit family, and we made sure we included a visit back to that place. That's what the picture that you saw was actually the arcade that we met. It looks a little bit different now, but same arcade, same location. And there's a McDonald's where it used to be like one of those little, what do you call it? Like where they serve drinks and hot dogs and all that kind of, like a little stand or.
Okay.
I don't know, not really.
A cart type thing, okay.
Yeah, but that's where they put a McDonald's up there now. But we got pictures there and brought our family and our nieces and nephews. So we got to have a good time out there and just remember and tell everyone that's where we met, was a video arcade at Circus Circus.
Yeah, that was really cool. I loved when you posted that, you know, just being able to come back to that same place and have it still be there, because, you know, in Vegas that doesn't happen that often. I mean, you know, that place is the very epicenter of, oh my goodness, where did that go? You know, I love downtown, I have to tell you. I mean, you know, the strip's okay, but I really, really love downtown. In fact, I'd love to do the thing, like when we're down there sometime, and just put myself in the lottery to be one of the street performers in the little circles around that. I've always wanted to do that. I'm not sure what the heck I would do. I guess I got to come up with a shtick, but I just thought it would be all cool to just stand in a circle and just see what happens.
You could do this. You could just do your show from there and interview people that walk by.
Ooh, I dig it.
Some characters walk
so
by.
So just broadcast, I could like just record or broadcast it live, do a special Lee After Dark episode on Fremont Street.
Yeah.
And
you could do it after.
Looking exactly like this. Now we got a plan now. Thank you.
Yeah, I would watch that, and I would look forward to seeing all the characters that you have on that show. You could say, hey, do you want to be famous? Just hold a sign up so you want to be famous. And you just interview them and give them like 3 minutes of fame. You know, the 15, the other 12 minutes they can get somewhere else. Say, hey, look, you got to, we'll give you 3 minutes of fame, whatever you want to talk about, you know, and that's it. Most interesting. Oh, and sell.
I love it.
The most interesting story gets a full show. There you go.
I wonder how many times I'm going to have to go out to Vegas to actually be able to snag one of those spots, though.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, well, that's a different episode. You've got about a minute and a half left, so is there anything else that you'd like for our audience to know that doesn't have anything to do with your business?
Let me see. Talk about hermit crab. Also, I used to have a ferret as a pet.
A pet, okay, a ferret.
I have a ferret that when we were living in California, we smuggled him over from Arizona. We were visiting. And driving home through the desert and saw the sign said ferrets for sale. And we just decided to stop on one of those little homes there and all these cute ferrets. We smuggled one in to California when they were supposed to be illegal. However, you could get all the ferret supplies at the store. So obviously more people have ferrets. So that was another interesting pet I had, was a ferret. Lots of fun. They like to play a lot. If you run after them, they'll run away. And if you just immediately turn around and run away from them, they'll start chasing you, like literally like just switch. You can chase them, they'll run away. And as soon as you switch and you start back and running away from them, they'll chase you down. They also like to hide a lot of stuff. They're like pack rats. They'll steal little things. They'll steal your rings. They'll take your keys and they'll stash them in a corner somewhere. And then you'll find all your stash of candy wrappers and just all kinds of little things. So they're kind of really neat, neat little pets. That's another interesting pet. And also had a snake that I found in the garage and ended up keeping it and letting that grow until it grew about 4 feet. It was like a garter snake or a gopher. It was a gopher snake. And also had a pet iguana for a while that was actually trained to leave the cage. And it wasn't a good thing, but it would walk across the house and go to the bathroom in the kitchen sink. And it would make it easy to wash. You just have to make sure that you really disinfect it, though. But sure. It was literally not – it was nice because I didn't have to clean the cage that much. It would actually go to the kitchen sink and go to the bathroom. And that grew to about 4.5 feet or so. So there are some interesting pets that I've had.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your menagerie of interesting pets over the year and some of your experience in Vegas as well. You have successfully completed the 20-minute Lee After Dark Not Talking About Your Business Challenge. So gay and, you know, invisible confetti and all that. So being a man of my word, I want to give you 5 minutes on the clock to talk about your business, what you do, how people can get in touch with you. The floor is yours, my friend.
All right. Awesome. So my company is called Become a Better Networker. My background, I've always been shy, introverted, and averse to social settings, public speaking, all those kind of things. And obviously we all know that networking is important, but most of us were never taught how to do it. So as I got better at networking, I started helping other people initially around networking rooms that looked as lost as I would, because you look down and they're looking at their phones instead of engaging with people. And I just started doing that, and it turned into a company where I would actually coach and train and consult. And now I do a lot of speaking and have a school that I'm launching starting January 2020 called the Networking Breakthrough Academy. And what I do there is take people through the whole process to help them achieve a breakthrough through networking. So I don't just teach them the networking skills, actually help them to achieve the breakthrough from starting from within, because most of the time it's our self-limiting beliefs. It's our negative self-talk that we keep ourselves from potential. Once I help people through that, then I help them to understand the right context and what networking really is. It's not about selling at networking events. It's not about pitching. It's about building genuine relationships. It's about collaborating versus competing. So I share an analogy with poker, where instead of playing against one another, we're now sharing cards. So for example, if Lee and I were sitting at your poker table in Vegas and we were exchanging cards, we would probably win more times than anyone else at the table. And that's what networking is about, is sharing those resources that may be not good for us, but good for somebody else, and vice versa. We end up creating better hands for one another. And so I teach them that. And then after that, then I go into the skills. So the skills is like the last part. And then we go into the muscle memory and start developing people to turn them into influencers and people that can impact their community. So through that program, I help individuals like entrepreneurs, sales professionals, coaches, authors, to be able to build their brand, build their business out there. Two other audiences that I help through the academy are corporate sales teams, and also people that want to start their own networking community. And I help them create similar to what I've created in our local networking group, where we have over 5,500 members now, and help them to create communities that are thriving and have the right culture of people that just want to serve one another and, you know, and enjoy life. It's almost like not really a network group. It's almost like a business life group, because we just end up supporting one another and helping each other grow. And it's just a lot more fun way to grow business, where we actually care about one another instead of, you know, just trying to make contacts. So those are two things I do. And on the network, so I provide the networking education, but also host the events, as I said, called the Connected Community Networking Group. And one new project that I have there is actually launching a virtual networking event. So I actually have a virtual networking opportunity in addition to live networking. And it's going to be amazing, and being able to create very specific targeted connections in a very short amount of time. So I'm excited to roll that out. It'll be coming out here in the next few weeks.
Very cool. Very cool. So tell us how can people learn more or get in touch with you?
Yep. Best ways to connect with me, as far as like events and services, is go to my website, www.chrisborja.com, chrisborja.com, and connect with me on social media. So if you're watching the show, connect with me on Facebook, connect with me on LinkedIn. Just say you saw me on Lee After Dark, and we'll, you know, I'll be happy to accept your connection request. And that's a good way to stay in touch. I post regularly and stay active and engage with the audience. So we try to just have a good time.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for coming on the show today and sharing with us, and for the important work that you're doing. And I know firsthand how important proper networking is and how frustrating it can be when you're in an environment where people are not doing it correctly. So thank you for everything that you do. Any last words?
No, thanks for having me out. I appreciate your friendship for the last several years. And just as a fun note, you were actually one of the first people I met when I first started my networking journey in 2012.
Yes.
And you actually made a good impression, and we've been friends to this day. So I appreciate your friendship. And, you know, I'm glad I was able to meet you. So I love networking, because it's not just for business, but you make some awesome lifelong friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And likewise, my friend. So guys, we are out of time. If you found Lee After Dark more entertaining and relevant than most of the dreck out there, subscribe to the Lee After Dark YouTube channel. And now get Lee After Dark in your pants. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Stitcher, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and who the heck knows where else. So wherever you stick your phone, we'll be there. Until next time, this is Lee Rowley with my good friend Chris Borja. Be present and be well.